Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're joined by our buddy, Nota Begay, who's been on the show many times. Golf Channel analyst, of course, former player as well. And he's on site at Augusta National as part of the Golf Channel's Golf Central Live from the Masters. Coverage continues all weekend on the Golf Channel, leading up to and immediately following live tournament coverage on CBS. What up, Nota? How you been, buddy?
I'm doing great. Just enjoying another Masters. This place is amazing and just producing so many different storylines. You just never know who's going to pop up on that leaderboard. So it's just fun to watch every shot.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And a guy who's sitting atop the leaderboard, at least the leader in the clubhouse right now, Jason Day. I mean, how the heck is he doing what he's doing, Nota?
Tiger just stuck one, by the way, like 16 to 3 feet.
His back is all jacked up, picking up his kid. I mean, how is he pushing through this? But it's a great story regardless because, we all know his background.
If you look back a month ago, he walked off the course on the 16th hole at the Arnold Palmer Invitational in Orlando, shows up the next week, and I talked to him that following week at the Players Championship. And he said he had four shots in his back.
Wow.
Just to be able to go play. I've had those epidural injections.
Me too.
And it's just remarkable. I mean, he's a remarkable talent, but just to be able to be playing through that, and that's just kind of what Augusta will do. We saw Tony Finau play with basically a broken ankle last
yeah,
year.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
These guys will do crazy things to show up here and play golf.
You know, when you talk to him, isn't he a little young to be having those issues?
Yeah, but if you just look at his swing, I mean, he swings extremely hard, as do most out here.
Yeah.
And it just puts a lot of stress, and the more reps you put and stress you put on your back at that high of a club head speed, different guys obviously can sustain different amounts of stress, and he has a tendency to sort of struggle with his back, and mm-hmm. it's going to be an ongoing issue for the rest of his career, as it was for me, and it was eventually the thing that led me to retire. But players just, they try and address it in the off season, and they try and make repairs or adjustments or improve their training regimen to see if they could get stronger in the core or get more stability in certain areas. But it's just one of those things he's going to have to wrestle with probably from now until when he stops playing golf.
It's brutal. I mean, listen, the epidurals, the epidurals will alleviate the pain that radiates down your legs when the nerve is impinged. But it won't necessarily always take away the pain in the lower lumbar. So it's kind of hit or miss. Everybody's body is different, the physiology of it. But it's just amazing to why. I mean, Tiki was out yesterday, and I'm on the air, and I think it was the second hole, but he was basically in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, this guy looks like he's not going to be able to walk to his car. And he's hitting the average 293 off the tee. So he's just a physical beast. All these guys are. They're all specimens. They all crush the ball. But we have some leaderboard. Now, can you explain to me, because this is the one thing, I know that, I think, that some tournaments are different. We know a lot of golf on the show, but I'm always perplexed when they get to the pairings. Because it's not like, well, this guy's minus three, this guy's minus three, they're necessarily playing with each other. It's weird, and I want you to explain that for our audience and me as well. But I ask you that because there's a chance that Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, based on where they are right now, both at minus four, it's not implausible they play tomorrow. How does that work at the Masters or in general?
Okay, for the first 36 holes, you're assigned
yep.
a grouping. And your grouping stays the same on Thursday and Friday. And in most cases, you usually have an early start on one day and a later start on the next day.
Yep.
And then after they make the cut, they pair based on score. And so if there's a couple guys, so say Phil Mickelson, which he is playing ahead of Tiger. He will post his score at, say, 5 under.
Okay.
The very next guy whether it's Tiger or Hao Tong Lee or whoever posts the next 5-under score will be paired with Phil Mickelson.
Got it.
Makes sense.
I honestly never knew that.
I didn't know that either.
That was
right.
Easy.
So it does it, yeah. So it just as you compile and you post your scores in the scoring tent, that's how it's determined. So if a guy posts at 7-under, like obviously the leaders are easier to pair. But say there were three people that finish at 7. So right now Francesco Molinari is already in the clubhouse. Jason Day is already in the clubhouse at 7. Mm-hmm. So regardless of what happens, if another guy posts at 7-under, he will not be in that final pairing. He will go in the next to last.
Got it. But what happens, now I'm going to get real technical and geeky, what happens if, say, Molinari's in the 10th at a minus 7, and then I'll just throw, player X and player Y, both come in at minus 7, is it literally the one who signs it first? Because at that point, they both
it's not. It's who's listed first on the pairing sheet for that particular rounds.
Got all the answers. Okay. All right. Good stuff. Nota Begay is with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
You're weather really real geeky on me right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no, I was just curious.
It's the little things, Nota.
About the golf out there.
It's the little things, man. The more you know, right? There is a weather delay that we are just now seeing. What's going on weather-wise out there? Because I know in the future days, it's tomorrow and Sunday, it might be a big, big factor.
Yeah, it can be, but it's still having an impact right now. There was a lot of rain early in the week, and I talked to Tiger about it a little bit. He just mentioned that it was just soaking wet in the fairways. And one of the unique things that maybe the average sports fan doesn't know about Augusta Nationals, they have what's called a sub-air system underneath the fairways and underneath the greens. They're very expensive systems that actually pull moisture out of the ground and they drain it and send it off into a sort of a drainage area. So they can actually dry the golf course out much, much quicker than courses that don't have a sub-air system in place. And it really comes into play with the greens because they can, on normal weeks with not a ton of rain, they can make the greens as soft or as fast and hard as they like. So they can really control scoring with how difficult they make it to hold the green. So it's one of the unique things about Augusta, and you'll see them from time to time. If there's not what makes Augusta exciting is what you're seeing. Is you're seeing players make birdies, but you're also seeing guys struggle making bogeys.
Yep.
Augusta is the most wonderful golf course in the world when people are making birdies because you can hear roars all through the whole place. And especially if they're popular players like McIlroy or Tiger or Phil Mickelson or players like that, you can hear these roars all the way across the golf course. And so at times if it gets a little too hard and there's not enough birdies, they'll add some water to the course because they know that if you want to see birdies with pro golfers, just add water.
There you go. A little more receptive. Yeah. I understand where you're coming from. Nota Begay is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Brooks Koepka, I wanted to run this by here because I know that Brandel Chambly was our buddy. Brandel was taking some heat on this. He always takes heat because he's got strong opinions, and he's an out of the box thinker, and people challenge that on occasion. I love him though, but he did say that Koepka dropped a lot of weight, and going from 215-ish or 220 down to 190 would, even if it's a fraction that we can't see, but you can as a former pro golfer, as a golfer and an analyst, that it would impact the plane of his swing and could really lead to a wobbly swing. He's playing well today. Have you noticed anything? Is his plane different at all?
No, not at all. And I haven't really noticed anything significant with regard to sort of how he's delivering the golf club to the golf ball at impact. I know Brandel's a little bit more of a tactician than I am with regard to the technical aspects of the game, but I always just look at the fluidity of somebody's swing. Are they hitting similar shots? I actually was covering Brooks Koepka and watched him the last 10 holes when he shot 66 in the final round of the Honda Classic and missed getting into a playoff by one shot. I didn't see anything that I would sort of designate as red flag.
Okay.
And I know that this is something with regard to weight fluctuation, training in the gym that Tiger went through. There were periods of time, if you look at some of the old videos around 06, 07, where Tiger was ripped up top.
Yep.
And he was really, interested just to see, you know, if he got a little bit bulkier, stronger in his upper body, would it impact or would it provide any advantages? His weight had increased by somewhere between 10 to 12 pounds. And he won the PGA Championship that year, so it really wasn't affecting his game. He was just trying to see, is there an advantage in doing that?
Mm-hmm.
So on the flip side of the coin, you could sort of make that same argument for Brooks Koepka. He's won three major championships at sort of maybe a heavier, more muscular weight. Maybe it's hard for him to carry that around for a full year or to you know, I mean, Tiki would know, nothing against you, but
yeah,
you know, to
it is
fit and to stay strong, you got to put your time in the gym.
Right.
So maybe he's just trying to mess around and just find the right weight for a long-term career. So I got nothing against it at all.
Yeah, no, okay. I agree with you. Brooke, we only have a couple minutes here, Nota, because we're up against the break. We're going to talk some basketball with Greg Anthony here. But just quickly, after seeing a round and a half, I guess, because we're in suspension right now, who do you like so far?
Well, I like – here's the thing about the Masters. In the last 15 years, there's been only one player that shot an over par score after round one to go on to win, and that was Tiger in 2005. He opened with a 74, and it's the largest deficit that any eventual champion has overcome. He was tied for 33rd after that round, so he passed 32 players en route to winning the Masters in 2005. This tournament basically requires you to be in and around the top 10 after round one, and through 36 holes, I believe in the last 10 years, no player outside the top 10 has ever gone on to win. So for those of you that have high hopes of, say, the McIlroys or the Roses or the Garcias making these big comebacks to win the Masters, it's highly unlikely, not to say that it's impossible, but this is just a tough golf course to make up ground because somebody up the top of that leaderboard with the quality of their resume is going to make some birdies. And so it'll take something monumental for guys to come back in the pack. So looking at Tiger at getting to 4-under through 11 in the second round, that's huge because now he's within three shots. Even if he just plays even par for the last six or seven holes,
yep,
he is going to be in a great position to close out that deficit over the last 36 holes.
Makes total sense. Nice. Nota, always appreciate you carving out some time. Really good stuff. Thank you very much, and have a blast over
Absolutely,
the weekend out
guys.
There.
Take care, Nota.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.